All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Asham, take two. Mark.
Set up.
Set.
And action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
I'm Penn Ketchum.
And this is the Penn Cinema Podcast.
Woohoo!
This episode, we're going to be discussing the upcoming 2019 Oscar nominations.
Oh, boy.
This is it, man. Can you believe it's Oscar time already?
Every year, I try to not care. Like, I'm so over the Oscars, and it's so irrelevant to me and my world, and yet every year I get caught up in it anyway.
Yeah, I kind of, like, something happens and it comes around, and I'm like, how did I miss this movie or that movie?
Right.
And we're going to get into them, talk about some of them. They're not even, like, critically, like, highly reviewed. And
I also feel the Oscars often make me feel so inadequate, because I feel like a bad moviegoer because I didn't see them, or I just feel like we'll talk about at least one title in particular where the rest of the world is going crazy for it, and I just don't get it.
Okay.
I feel like maybe I'm not smart enough to get it.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to that. But before we get into that, let's go ahead and talk about some movie news. I don't know if you're aware of this, Penn.
Tell me.
But I'm a big fan of Dune.
I think I heard that.
What? And this movie is moving ahead like full force. Dennis, I don't even know how to say his last name. Do you know Villeneuve?
Villeneuve.
Anyway, this week they announced Oscar Isaac is playing Duke Leto, which I'm down.
Yeah.
And Zendaya is playing Chaney, which is like the main character's lady. Two things about this. One, I love both the castings. I think both actors are great. Two, I was like, man, I don't know. Zendaya's a little young for Chaney for me. And then I was like, or I'm a little old. I guess I'll just wait and see who plays the kid's mom. And that'll probably be my heartthrob.
Do they have a release date for that?
I don't think so. Not that I'm aware of.
Do you think if we go downstairs to the lobby and we ask the next 100 people that walk through my doors, how many of them are aware of Dune, period? Let alone forget this movie coming out.
Okay, so we're going to ask 10. There are 100
people. 100. How many of those 100 people are just, they know what you're talking about? So you walk up to them and say, are you excited for the new Dune movie?
What age bracket do you think?
No, I'm saying the next 100 people. So we're sitting here upstairs at Penn Cinema in Lititz, and we have 100 people walking in. So there's going to be some old people are coming in to see They Shall Not Grow Old. There's people walking in to see Green Book. And there's people coming in to see Glass.
Okay.
And
I bet you, I would say at least half the people would know that Dune was a David Lynch movie.
That's what I was going to guess, too. I was going to say approaching 50.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
And it would be because of Lynch and not the book, probably.
Right. Okay, more in movie news.
Okay, moving on.
I just wanted to set that as our, like, you know, because I know we're going to be talking about Dune every single week from now until when the movie comes out.
What? Where did you get that? I don't know what you're talking about. Okay, Zombieland. Did you enjoy this movie?
Loved. This is one of my all-time favorite movies. And I'm not even going to say it's my all-time favorite movie. What I'm saying is, and I think you can appreciate that these are two different lists. Mm-hmm. You have your list of favorite movies, and then you have your list of favorite movie-going experiences.
Okay.
Like the most fun you had in a theater. Mm-hmm. And watching Zombieland with a bunch of our employees and friends and stuff, I just love that movie. I can't wait for Double Tap to come out.
Okay. Well, they announced the name Double Tap, and Rosario Dawson's going to be on board, which I think is great. She is just, like, getting better and better.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I just think that her acting chops, like, in the beginning I was like, whatever, but now I'm down.
Yeah.
I'm really down with what she's into. We had a trailer or a teaser come out for Birds of Prey, which is really just an excuse to have a Harley Quinn movie. Isn't the full title like The Emancipation of Harley Quinn or something like that?
I'm wait and see on this. I'm a wait and see. That's where I stand.
Oh, I'm totally with you. Okay. Did you watch the teaser?
I did.
It was basically just like a GQ shoot.
Right. I didn't know what was going on.
It's just a bunch of people in costumes.
Like, yeah.
Swinging things in the air and stuff. I feel like it was a waste of time.
Yeah, it was weird.
They should have held off a little bit more. So here's an interesting one. James Gunn, off of Guardians of the Galaxy. They're now bringing him back to Suicide Squad. And he's doing a soft reboot, I want to call it. A lot of these sites out there are calling it the reboot of Suicide Squad. But Suicide Squad had like a rolling list of people in it.
Right.
So, I don't know.
I don't quite know what to think of that. Because are we in agreement that we loved Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yeah.
When he did. I mean, that was fantastic. And are we in agreement that Suicide Squad was like, okay? Like, I didn't love it. I wanted to love it more than I loved it.
I'm in agreement that Suicide Squad was subpar.
Subpar, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a grown-up word for it sucked.
Yeah.
But I think that that's probably the more fair representation, is that it was good. It was, you know, whatever. It was subpar. My question, the reason why I'm sort of testing both of those waters is because the question I always have at moments like this is, what magic did he bring to Guardians, and how much of that can be brought over to Suicide Squad?
Okay.
You know, in other words, should my expectation now be that I'm going to enjoy the next Suicide Squad as much as I enjoyed Guardians? I find that impossible to believe, but that's my question. You know, is that what we're getting our hopes up for?
I think that's what people are getting their hopes up for. And there are a lot of people who really like Suicide Squad, and I don't understand, but okay.
I liked it. I'm being more harsh on it than I was when I saw it. I liked it.
Okay.
But definitely left me feeling like, huh.
Yeah, yeah. I want to have high hopes, but it's like, I feel like it doesn't matter what director they put in the shoes. DC is just so far gone.
Well,
that it doesn't, it just like, you can't be saved.
I don't share that.
That's right, you liked Aquaman.
I liked Aquaman. I think we all liked Wonder Woman.
Okay, yeah.
I liked Black Panther. No, I'm just kidding. No, but I think Wonder Woman is a big ray of hope for the future of DC, and I feel like Aquaman is another step in the right direction. I think I said I didn't love Aquaman, but I liked it. It gave me hope for DC. I definitely am not ready to give up on DC. And that's sort of my underlying question. Is James Gunn going to move to Suicide Squad and bring some of his magic that he brought to that other Marvel franchise? Can he bring it to a DC franchise? Or is the DC, that's the ultimate like trillion-dollar question. Is there something fundamentally wrong with the DC, I don't even want to say universe because that implies that it's the content, but I'm talking about like the business behind it, Warner Brothers, the business, the people who are investing in it, people who are putting money into it, the producers. Is there something wrong with that, with the corporate piece of that?
That's where I feel the problem is.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I'm also not done with them. I mean, I'll still see them, even though I don't have the highest. What's really gonna be the clincher for me is Wonder Woman 1984?
Yeah.
Or 1984. Yeah, Wonder Woman 1984. I think if, as long as that's good, like, I'm still on board.
Okay.
Because I feel like they did such a great job with Wonder Woman, it's hard to...
Yeah.
I just want to see them do...
Well, as long as we're talking DC, the news that I wanted to work into this conversation was the oldest news in town, but they made official with Ben Affleck dropping out of Batman.
Yeah, I saw that.
I mean, people have been saying that for 2 years, but I was glad to read it. I was really happy to see that, like, that's now an open fact. It's a given. We can move on. Because I love Ben Affleck.
Mm-hmm.
I loved him in a lot of movies. I'm a big fan. But he was horrible as Batman.
Honestly, I didn't mind him as Batman. I liked that older, like, gruff Batman.
Mm.
Do you think they're going to James Bond it, where he's just, like, it's just another actor, or do you think that they're going to come up with a story reason?
I think they're going to James Bond it.
Okay.
I have no idea.
Or like
I don't
old
know.
Style Batman, and I
right,
guess you could even
right,
say.
Right. I wouldn't mind if they gave Batman some room right now and sort of left him alone. Like that wouldn't yeah. be the worst thing either.
Yeah.
I felt like one of the big problems with Ben Affleck's Batman is that it came too close on the heels of The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Like, The Dark Knight was one of my favorite trilogies of all time, and it holds up over time. But I don't know, but was it 1 year or 2 years? Or it was some,
it
felt like about 5 minutes, you know, from when the credits rolled on Dark Knight till we were watching Ben Affleck on screen as Batman. Mm-hmm. I felt like that was greedy on the studio's part. And it didn't give the old franchise the time to fade off.
I agree. I think I don't know what you want to see for future Batman. I know you just said you wanted to give it some breathing room, but I feel like if they really wanted to reinvigorate it, they could change things up and go Batman Beyond.
Okay.
A little, are you familiar with that at all?
Yeah.
And I know that they're making, like, since Into the Spider-Verse was such a good thing, that I saw that they're making an animated film for Batman Beyond, but I think that live action would be like, it'd be like their Iron Man, basically,
because
he's got the special suit and everything. For those people who don't know, it's in the future, and Batman trains a new, he's older, and he trains a younger guy to be Batman, and he's got a very Iron Man-like suit.
You know what's interesting? This is a little bit off topic, but as long as we're talking about Spider-Verse and some of the other Batmans and stuff like that, like, how crazy good was Lego Batman?
I hadn't seen it.
Oh, my God. It was fantastic. I'll answer your question for you.
It was fantastic.
It was a huge box office success. The movie itself was great. It was hilarious and fun. And I'm not saying, like, I want Lego, man. But I'm just saying, like, to me, what that tells you is how perfect the character that was created 100 years ago, Batman, you know, is. And DC needs to get it right.
I thought the trailers were great, so it's on my list of things to watch. I just need to buckle down and do it.
What, Lego Batman?
Yeah, do you think I need to watch it before Lego Movie 2?
No.
Okay, you don't think it's tied in?
Uh-uh.
Okay.
I mean, it might be, but I think you have the capacity to figure it out.
Thanks for believing in me. Okay, let's see. Couple other things here to talk about. Invisible Man. Remember the Dark Universe?
Yeah.
Well, they scratched that. Johnny Depp is out, but they're still doing the Invisible Man.
It's weird.
Do you think that there's a market for that?
If it, to me, this falls in the category of, like, if it's done right.
Okay.
I don't think there's automatically a market for it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's kind of like, I'm struggling to think of an example, but I feel like sometimes, maybe Watchtower is an example, where there's not necessarily a market, but if it's a cool enough movie, it'll be a big success.
Okay. All right. I mean, if it's done right, I mean, my big thing is it has to not look like Hollow Man.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then I think it could be interesting. Something I'm pretty pumped for is Mission Impossible 7 and 8, slated for 2021 and 2022.
MI6, if I remember correctly, was one of the few, maybe the only movie that was on both of our top five lists from 2018.
That's
so
true.
I know we're both excited for MI6. And the question is, so 21, 22, so Tom Cruise will be 3 years older, 4 years older by the time he gets to Mission Impossible 8. That's awesome. I think it's great. Timeless wonder.
From what I understand, they're filming them at the same time. So
I love it when they do
that. Yeah, I think that'll be really good. Something people are going to be kind of torn up about is Ghostbusters 3. It's now set for 2020. I guess they're rushing it around. Story-wise, it's going to be the older crew teaching a younger crew, kind of what the other one should have been, if you ask me. But
I would like to see, and I obviously am not connected, I'd like to see the women of Ghostbusters and the men of Ghostbusters. Like, we've had regular Ghostbusters, and then we've had the one with Leslie Jones and that whole gang, which I loved in a sort of easy way. let's, you know, it's kind of like we had the boys' version and the girls' version. Let's drop that whole gender, you know, thing, and let's just have a cool Ghostbusters that has some, you know, like call it like the co-ed Ghostbusters, you know. But what do we know about this cast?
I didn't see anything about the cast quite yet. I mean, other than the original guys, I think Bill Murray's back.
Yeah.
And
it'd be fun if they had some of those original guys and could find a a smart way to make the storyline work to get some of the women in.
Yeah.
You know, and...
Well, aren't the women another universe or something? Or is it the same...
No, yeah, I think they are. They're
a different universe.
Yes. Yeah. It would take some weird creative thing.
Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah, man.
It that way. It's been done before.
Yeah.
West Side Story. Does it need to be remade? Are you ready for the remake? Steven Spielberg's on board.
I'm 100% ready.
Yeah.
I'm 100% ready. I have no problem with this.
I didn't know any of the names in the casting,
yeah.
And I probably would have mispronounced them, so I didn't even write them down. But it sounds
like... Rosario Dawson.
I didn't see her on there, but he's bringing in a lot of, like, stage actors, which I think is probably the way to go.
Yeah.
Since they're going to make...
What about Lin-Manuel Miranda? That'd be cool if he was in it.
It would. Well, one of the guys is from Hamilton that is cast.
Oh, David Diggs, maybe. I don't know. Maybe. I shouldn't speculate. You guys are listening to this podcast, Googling it as we speak. You know more than we do.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I didn't put them down because I didn't know who they were, and I was afraid of butchering their names. But they have released several casting notes for that. I know that the Maria's 17-year-old Puerto Rican actress, I believe.
Hmm.
So I'm actually looking forward to it. I love musicals, and when they're done right, I'm totally on board. So.
Me too. Completely.
And last, but definitely not least, probably the most important thing of note this week, is Kevin Hart, dear to our hearts as he is starring in a movie based on Monopoly.
You know, I would love to say that this is a dumb idea. But if I was on a podcast and... we were talking about this new movie that was on the schedule called Lego Movie, I would have said that was a dumb idea, and I'm a huge fan. So I'm going to reserve judgment and say this is great. Kevin Hart is hilarious. We already know that. Mm-hmm. And what in the world do you do with a Monopoly movie? I don't know.
I mean, I just want the Monopoly movie to be based in the same universe as the Battleship movie. I mean, if we're going for a board game universe... Let's go hard.
Okay. That works.
Well, before we move into our main topic, any big news on like what was big this week?
So this week, you know, I had a funny exchange with a guy from there's a studio called STX.
Okay.
And they have a movie that's the number one movie in Penn Cinema right now called The Upside.
Okay.
The number one movie in the country is of course Glass. But at actually all Penn Cinema locations, the number one movie was The Upside, starring Kevin Hart.
Okay.
And, of course, our boy Bryan Cranston. Mm-hmm. Really great. Really great movie. Feel good. Pretty funny, but also a real tearjerker. And this guy, you know, says to me, boy, I should get a medal or something because my movie was number one movie at all your theaters. I was like, dude, this has been the crappiest weekend. Like, you know, oh yeah, you're the king of the shitheads, you know. Like, congratulations, you're the king of the losers. So, yeah, I mean, Glass and Upside, they're the big news. A lot of people came out to see, we're sitting here tonight to talk about the Oscars. A lot of people were in to see Bohemian Rhapsody, mm-hmm. Vice, Green Book was a big draw. A lot of people want to see Green Book. So we sort of had Glass and Upside as sort of the two big movies this week. And Upside was number one, but Glass was right there. I mean, it was really right there. You know what else is interesting? We had two, Penn Cinema Wilmington and Penn Cinema Lititz both have an IMAX theater. And we played Free Solo, which is on our list of best documentaries. Mm-hmm. It's about a guy who does some solo rock climbing. I say it so casually, like, oh, he does some solo rock climbing. No, it's incredible. This movie, I could not watch. I mean, I did watch it, but I was hiding my eyes. I literally had to look away. I was so scared for him. And it was great for me as a moviegoer because somehow I made it into the movie without knowing whether or not he lives or dies. So
don't spoil it. I've seen it Wednesday.
Yeah, I was on the edge of my seat, you know, and the movie is incredibly moving and powerful and hard to watch,
really?
in a fantastic way. So that movie also was big this week, and that was an interesting one because it's a National Geographic movie, and IMAX sort of had this weird week where, you know, it's right before Lego Movie, they came off a glass to open this, but they put it in IMAX as a national release at the last minute, and a lot of people came out. So that movie did really well.
I'm planning to see it in a couple days, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Oh, it's great.
I'm also interested, surprisingly, like, you know how these things kind of go together, but there's another documentary on rock climbing.
Dawn Wall.
Yeah. And that looks pretty good, too.
And that's been playing at Zootropolis.
Yeah.
Here in Lancaster. I'm not sure if that's done in Zoe or not.
I don't know. I think it just opened last weekend, so yeah. It might be there one more.
And they have a sort of, sometimes their movies come for a few days and come back for a few days, yeah. And, you know, so you got to check them out. But yeah, it is interesting how all of a sudden there's all these rock climbing walls.
Yeah.
Or rock climbing movies.
Where'd the walls come from?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But yeah, so that was sort of the news, and that'll be it until the Oscars come. You know, we'll continue having, like, we get this every year. Late January, early February, where people are quick trying to catch up on some of the Oscar movies that they missed.
You say that'll be it, but next week is Lego Movie 2.
Lego Movie. Next week's going to be big.
Yeah.
Because that's Lego Movie 2, the second part, which is my favorite title of 2019, and I think it will probably hold up as my favorite title. So the title of this movie is Lego Movie 2, the second part, which I just love.
I think that's great.
So that'd be the big one. That opens February 8th. But there's also some, like, middle-of-the-road movies that I think, like, have the capacity. I think Liam Neeson's movie Cold Pursuit is going to be an underwhelming movie, but probably a fun action movie if you're bored. Mm-hmm. I don't expect it to sort of amount to much. And then there's also this weird horror movie called Prodigy, which I think, you know, is sort of like whatever. You know, it's 88 minutes, which always makes me nervous. Like, if when the director can't come up with a full 90 minutes of content. Like, but on the other hand, it has a great cast and it looked creepy as hell. So if you're into horror movies, I think Prodigy is going to be a good one. But the one that sort of has my radar, I think it's going to surprise some people, is What Men Want with Tracy Morgan and the lady whose name we always forget how to pronounce. But it's What Men Want. It's R-rated. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to end up, you know, having a really popular following. And I think it's going to compete for the number two spot. Obviously, Lego Movie's your big blockbuster this week, supported not only with an incredible draw, but also it has all the IMAX screens. But What Men Want, I think, will sort of be a little bit of a, we'll call it a sleeper. Yeah. It'll be our first sleeper.
Well, it'll definitely be the date movie of the weekend.
Well, then we have, on the 13th, we have Isn't It Romantic opening. That's another popular date movie. And your movie of the year... Alita, Battle Angel, a.k.a. the next Avatar.
Okay, all right. This is something we stopped ourselves. We were about to talk about this before the show was rolling. Give me this. Why is Alita the next Avatar? Or is it literally the next Avatar?
First of all, I have to give credit where credit is due. This whole story goes back to Drew Schaefer.
Okay.
Drew is the director of operations for Penn Cinema. So he's the guy who oversees all three theaters. He manages all the operations. He's got his fingers in everything. He's worked for us the entire time, ever since day one. He's an absolute rock star. So here's what happened. 20th Century Fox is releasing Alita Battle Angel. And we get this incredibly weird memo from 20th Century Fox requiring us to go check our light levels in our 3D auditoriums for this release of Alita Battle Angel, which seemed a little over the top. But we were like, eh, whatever. You know, they're trying to impress, because I think James Cameron's isn't he the executive producer or one of the producers?
Yeah.
So that's just like him, you know, to be testy and emotional about the 3D light levels. Now, luckily, Penn Cinema always cranks our lights. You know, so a lot of lesser movie chains will run their lamps at a lower percentage of capacity. Think of it like a dimming switch. And you can save, light bulbs cost about $1,200 a pop. So you can make them last longer by lowering the light levels, which is a really lame thing to do. So we never do that. So we always blast. So if they want to check our light levels, we're like, great. We would love to show you our light levels because we want credit for being such a good theater. Mm-hmm. So anyway, get this memo, and it's kind of weird, but we didn't think anything of it. Then a little while later, we got another memo, which in grown-up words said essentially, "No, seriously, we want to check your light levels." You know, and so they were obsessed with these light levels, like time and time again, circling back. And then we get this memo: tickets are on sale on such and such date. We're like, "All right, that's fine, that's normal." Then we get another memo saying, "No, just kidding. It's actually the day after that. The next day is when we want tickets on sale for that." And me and Drew are like, "Okay, hold off on that. It's gonna be. They're gonna push it back." Then they push it back again. And we get all these weird, like, this very high maintenance. So just for some perspective, the typical routine on a movie that's expected to do the business of, like, what we all think Alita is going to do would be one email with an attachment that says, here's the runtime, here's the rating, here's the tech specs, you know, and here's the release date, and here's the ticket on sale date. And it's usually, like, one memo, and you write back, and you say, okay, got it. Like that's it. There's nothing else to it. Well, anyway, so we have this incredible conversation about Alita that's back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And then Drew says, "Hey, Penn, I got a theory about this." And this is where it gets interesting. So I said, "What's your theory?" So Drew says, "I don't think Alita exists." He doesn't think there's an Alita movie. He thinks this Alita, and you can't hear me, but I'm doing air quotes. Alita is the next Avatar. Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun.
Are you saying using the footage that we've seen, or is it just,
I'm saying there's no such movie as Alita.
There's no such movie.
That's what I'm saying.
And it's stealth. Like
It's the ultimate marketing ploy.
Oh,
and
man.
When you show up for Alita, you're going to see Avatar 2.
If that happens,
I'll go on record and say it's the greatest marketing ever.
Ever.
And it would make me so happy because Avatar is going to be such a massive, like, I would just love to see something like that. Something, because to me, that's fun. It's impulsive. It's tricky. It's so unheard of. And what do you need to do to convince people to come see Avatar? Nothing.
Nothing.
Everybody,
so
you know.
Why do it? Yeah.
Right. We're dying to see it. So nobody, you don't need to do anything, you know. So there you have Alita. So, okay, now the fun of the conversation is sort of wrapping up a little bit because now Alita, like, it opens in like 5 minutes, you know. So what's interesting is, Alita opens on the 13th at 7 p.m., February 13th at 7 p.m., and there is, the night before, in IMAX only, IMAX 3D,
okay,
an Alita fan event.
I saw that.
Tuesday night, February 12th.
How do people get in on that?
Just Google Alita fan event and buy your tickets.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think it's a possibility that it is the next Avatar. Of course, the closer we get, the less I think that. And so here's another little background. So I wrote my guy who I deal with at Fox, a good guy named Luke. I sent Luke an email and I told him about our theory. You know, I told him, "Hey, there's no, you know," and then he wrote me back something, "Ha ha ha," you know. And I said, "Hey, Luke, have you seen Alita? Are you telling me that you went into a screening room and sat down and watched this movie?" Crickets. Cue the crickets.
Oh, wow. I think you've got something to stand on here, and that's what scares me.
Right.
Because
it's totally something James Cameron would do. Create a fake set of trailers and promotional information.
But Alita's like a real thing.
I know.
Like, that's the only thing that's holding me back.
Right.
It's like, it would be worth upsetting all the people that actually watch this movie.
Both of them.
Yeah, all four.
You'd piss off the whole dozen of them.
People that knew that it was a book. Yeah.
So here's the thing. It's a fun conversation. I don't actually think that's what's happening.
Right.
But it is certainly a fun conspiracy theory to kick around.
I like the idea.
I love it.
I think we should try and convince people that's what's happening.
Start the rumor.
Yes. Let's get this rumor started. Everyone, you know, hashtag Alita is Avatar. Let them all know. Oh, man.
Won't we be laughing about this next year when we have Alita up for Best Picture?
Best Picture. Oh, man. Well, let's get into our Oscar noms, man. Gee whiz. Best Pictures. How many of these did you see?
Almost all of them.
Okay.
You want me to tell you why I said almost?
Yeah.
It's a spoiler alert, because this is one of the biggest movies we have to talk about. So I'll just
get right in.
This movie, Roma?
Yeah.
I can't do it.
Tried?
Yeah, I queued it up. I watched it.
Okay.
I mean, I'm sitting there watching it. All right, so what? She's watering the carport, and then the car, barely fits in, right? And then some naked guy swinging a stick around, and
That's just life, man.
I get it, but I this is why I was saying, I feel like I'm not smart enough to... The rest of the world is going crazy for this movie, and I feel like I'm not smart enough to get it. I thought it was... Okay, the black and white thing is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get me wrong, I don't mind a calm, I don't need Black Panther. Obviously, that was my favorite picture of the year, but I can do a talky movie. Mm-hmm. I can do heavy dialogue. I can do quiet. I can do thoughtful, whatever. But this movie to me was like whatever. Maybe I should have stuck with it longer.
There's just nothing going on in it, right?
I didn't see it. Yeah.
Yeah. I set out this week and I was like, I'm gonna get as caught up as I possibly can.
Yeah.
And then I didn't. But I only saw one of the four I needed to see. Okay, so on the list for Best Picture, we've got Black Panther, Black Klansman, Bohemian Rhapsody, The Favorite, Green Book, Roma, A Star is Born, and Vice.
Right.
Okay. So let's be crazy and start. We already covered Roma.
Yep.
I haven't seen it. You snoozed.
Yeah.
So we don't know why that one is on here. I mean, I think from what I've seen trailer-wise and just online and stuff, I feel like I understand why it's there. It's almost like a Woody Allen type thing. You look at it and you're like, I understand why this is at the Oscars. It's an art thing.
Yeah.
And that's probably the only reason it's there. Vice. Did you see Vice?
I did.
Okay. That's the one that I got this week.
Okay.
I thought it was very well made. I mean, it's very much a propaganda machine.
Right.
But it's very self-aware that it is.
Right.
It's kind of a weird mix. I don't understand why it's up for Best Picture.
Right.
I didn't feel like the movie itself was extremely fantastic. I didn't feel... I didn't leave the theater going, I can't wait to tell someone they need to go watch this movie.
Right.
And to me, I feel almost like that's kind of like what you need for a Best Picture.
I think, I don't want to say off the top of my head because I can't do it off the top of my head, but I think that pretty, in 1 minute or less, I could come up with three titles of movies that were better than Vice.
Okay.
I liked Vice.
Yeah.
It was a good movie. Whatever.
Yeah.
I agree with your assessment of the propaganda. That's fine. But there were so many good movies this year.
Right.
And this to me wasn't top shelf. So you know what this smells like? It smells like, and I don't want to say his name because he's so evil, but it smells like a Weinstein move. Like this movie is nominated for Best Picture because of something the studio had to do with. Yeah. I don't know what, and I'm not alleging anything. I mean, if I made a movie, I would want the studio to lobby successfully for a nomination as well. I'm not saying they shouldn't, but what I'm saying is, the people behind this picture did something right to get it nominated. Because on its own, it shouldn't have been nominated.
It could just be the side of politics that it swings to. That, I mean...
It could be. And it could be Christian Bale. I mean, he carries... People have a lot of respect for him.
Lottie freaking die. Yeah. Moving up, A Star is Born. One of two musically influenced movies on this list. Wow. Okay, so I very much enjoyed this movie, and I recommended it to people. So already it clicked one tick. Last week we talked about how I wanted to know how the dog got outside. That'll stay with me forever. I thought the music was really good. It is the fourth time this movie's been made, I think.
Third or fourth. Yeah.
Which is crazy. I understand why it's here. I think musically,
Is this the 2018 La La Land?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Okay. This is the 2018 La La Land. I think it was just like it has such a broad appeal.
Yeah.
I think that is why it's there. Like it.
And it did have a broad appeal.
Yeah. I mean, guys, girls, music people, non-music people. Yeah, old, young. Like, everyone's kind of on board with this movie. And at the same time, I really do feel like it just rode that middle of the road, like, please everybody just a little bit type of thing.
So there were three movies that made over $200 million on the Best Picture list. Obviously, Black Panther, by a long shot, closer to $1 billion. But the two other titles that went over 200...
Star is Born.
Both musicals.
And Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's interesting to me that... and there's some, you know, there's not a lot of movies that went over 200 million. Over 100 million, there's a pretty good list of that, you know. But 200... and so I think for Star is Born and... I mean, Bohemian Rhapsody may be more impressive because it lacks the stars. You know, I mean, it's easy to get someone to want to come see Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper.
Right.
You know, the Bohemian Rhapsody, maybe they have a little step up because of the natural Queen audience, but I don't think that's a huge movie-going audience.
Right.
So I think they did that on a little bit more on their own.
So do you think A Star is Born deserves to be on the list?
I do, yes. Okay. I have no problem with both of those titles being on the list.
I didn't see Bohemian Rhapsody.
I loved Bohemian Rhapsody. I think I told you either on the show or in person, whatever, that Bohemian Rhapsody to me is the kind of movie, if you get the chance, you really need to see it in a movie theater because of the sound, because you know the theatrical experience is profound.
Right. That was something I was trying to do this week, and just time-wise didn't work out for me. I'm very much interested. I was very hyped for this movie, like super hyped. And then it came out and... the buzz just like cut off, which surprises me that it's on here because it was like all of the things that I were listening to and seeing all came back kind of mediocre to negative on it.
Huh.
And then I didn't really know anyone who kind of saw it. I mean, that I was talking to at the time.
Because we had an opposite experience in the theaters. Like the movie opened and we were, none of us were really sure exactly what was going to happen. And then all of a sudden I'm moving it to bigger auditoriums.
Really?
Yeah. You know, and it just took off, and it just kept going and going and going.
Well, now I'm finding people coming, like, oh, yeah, I really like that. It's like, but they just weren't vocal about it, which is kind of crazy, so.
Well, it also, it came out in November. So so that would come out, that has the possibility to get lost in the Thanksgiving shuffle.
Yeah.
It came out, like, early November. So by the time Thanksgiving came along, you had, you know, some other movies that were Creed, you know, making a little bit more waves.
The Green Book, still in the theaters now.
Yes.
How is this movie doing?
Well, a lot of these titles are still in the theaters. Black Panther is going to come back February 15th.
Free, right?
No.
Okay, what's this?
It had a little window. I think that window's already closed.
Okay.
AMC struck a deal with Disney. I'm not sure how that worked, but it was like 3 days at the 4 p.m. show for free.
Okay.
Which is great. You know, I have no problem with it, but it was a weird little, like, promotional thing. But Black Panther's coming back everywhere else on the 15th. Bohemian Rhapsody's playing at a lot of places, including Penn Cinema and Huntington Valley. Green Book is playing at all Penn Cinemas. Vice is playing in Wilmington. But you were asking about Green Book.
Yeah.
I think Green Book is one of the best pictures on this list.
Really?
Yeah. And it's just, maybe it's because I like both of them, what I consider the main characters, although one of them's up for supporting actor. But I think that they're likable, they're relatable, and yet it has an incredible social message without being preachy, but an incredibly timely and important message. I think you already know my number one pick is Black Panther for Best Picture, but I think Green Book is... Unless they go, are we talking like predictions now? Did we just shift into?
Well, let's hold our predictions.
Hold our predictions. Yeah. Okay, so Green Book 100% deserves to be on the list. In my opinion, it's a rock solid pick for Best Picture.
Okay, all right. That's musically inclined as well, right?
A little bit. It's got a great sound. We'll just put it this way: it's got a great soundtrack.
Cool. Okay, so The Favorite. Did you get a chance to see The Favorite?
I did.
What did you think of The Favorite?
You know,
I saw this. I did see this one.
Yeah, yeah. I loved it. Yeah. In an incredibly weird way. Like,
yes.
The movie is so
yes.
weird, you know. And yeah. I like that. I dig it. But there was some stuff in there that I think that I missed.
Right. Yeah. I
want to see it again.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. I want to see this movie again, and because I think there's things that you'll pick up on more knowing their motivations.
Right.
I enjoyed this movie. I don't know if I would say best picture of the year, but definitely supporting actress. That's gonna get Emma Stone's gonna get my nod hard on this one because I just thought she was fantastic. Rachel Weisz is great too, and. I don't think the queen is up for anything, but she did a fantastic job at making me not want to see her on the screen.
100% Emma Stone should get best supporting actress for this role. You and I disagreed, or not disagreed, but we sort of had realized, I think she was sinister and ambitious all along. Mm-hmm. You think she sort of turned into that along the way, but that's another example of why I want to see it again.
Right.
You know, to yeah. sort of have that stuff. I'm 100% comfortable with this being a Best Picture nominee. Mm-hmm. I kind of hope it doesn't win just because it's so artsy.
Yeah.
You know, I like movies. I want movies to win that relate to a wide swath of people. You know,
you haven't been watching the Oscars, have you?
Well, see, that's why, what I said earlier, every year I do watch the Oscars, and every year they go to this incredibly narrow audience, and every year I turn off the TV and I'm like, well, that's it for me. Mm. And then here we are, 11 and a half months later, and I'm all excited about it. Yeah.
Are you doing an Oscar thing here?
No.
At the theater, okay.
No.
All right, so BlacKkKlansman.
I missed this one.
I missed it too. I want to see it. I know. I think it's on digital now. I was going to try and catch it before the Oscars. I it looked funny. I mean, you know what other movie I missed? I think it was last year as well. Was Sorry to Bother You, which seemed like it was kind of along the same stylistic wise.
The Academy loves Adam Driver.
Yeah, they really do.
Yeah,
they really do. My question is. How much shirtless Adam Driver is in this movie? Because he's always, in everything, he's always, shirtless.
I think this movie has an incredible plot, and it'll certainly be a heavy favorite for screenplay and that kind of thing. But to me, it's a little bit like Vice. Mm-hmm. I'm not 100% sure it should be on the list of best pictures. Okay. But we're sitting here like idiots because neither one of us saw it.
Yeah, so we don't
know. So that's dumb.
Maybe we'll have an update when the Oscars come back around.
Maybe I'll watch it.
last one on the list, of course, is Black Panther, and I think everyone kind of knows we both love this movie.
Yeah, this was my number one movie of the year, and I went on record in a newspaper interview a couple weeks ago saying this was my long shot pick for the Oscars.
Okay, all right. We're going to do predictions here for this category.
Okay.
All right, but first I want to ask... I want to kind of cover, they had popular movie as a category, and then they took it away.
Right.
And I think that was almost solely for this movie. So that I think they were trying to keep Black Panther away from winning Best Picture by giving it popular movie of the year. And then they got rid of that category.
Huh.
Because it's not an Oscar movie.
It should be.
It should be, but it's look at these other movies, and it doesn't...
Which one of these doesn't belong?
Yeah, it doesn't fit.
But I feel... that's and again, I'm Charlie Brown running at the football, you know, and Lucy is the Oscars, and she's going to pull it away from me as soon as I get there. But one of the things I'm excited about this year is that Black Panther got nominated. I mean, it's a regular person's movie that tons of people loved. It's Marvel, it's comics, it's superheroes. It's so... It's that whole incredible... How can the Oscars continue to turn their back on that on an entire genre and not respect the filmmakers and the actors and actresses that are involved in this? So I hold out great hope that Black Panther will win. And this whole business of I hated the category of popular movie for exactly what you said, because the biggest insult you could take to Black Panther is to call it the most popular movie of the year.
And just throw it in there, yeah.
And what do you do for the rest of the year, for the rest of your life? Like, so now every year, popular movie, I mean, that's pretty easy. You get online and you go to boxoffice.com and you look up the grosses, you know, and you pick the movie that had the highest gross.
Right, right. Yeah, no, I agree. I think that it was insulting. To have that category. Predictions for me?
Wait. Before we do this, let's set a ground rule here.
Okay, ground rule.
Are we talking what we think's going to win or what we think should win?
Let's do both.
Okay.
Let's do, and they can vary.
I'm writing this down.
You're writing this down?
Yeah, because I want to come back on the show and talk about where we got right and wrong.
Okay. For me.
Yeah.
What I think will win.
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
And I haven't even seen it.
Yeah.
But I think Green Book's going to win.
Okay.
What should win is, I personally feel Black Panther should win. But then again, we just went over these movies and I haven't seen a significant amount of them. That's my preference on this one. So what do you think?
Okay.
I have only heard good things about the Green Book, and that's why I kind of feel like that might.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to add a third category. Just because I can.
Okay. All right.
So what I want to win and what I think should win and what I think the best picture of the year was Black Panther.
All three?
No. I'm saying I'm putting Black Panther in that second category of like what I want to win, which is also what I think should win, you know, and all this sort of stuff. What I think will win is The Favorite.
Really?
Yes, because I think they can't help themselves but to go for that artsy, crazy, weird to prove to schmucks like you that you don't understand as much as they do.
Why wouldn't they choose Roma then?
Well, that's my third category.
Black and white.
That's my third category of... I can't think of a succinct way of saying this category, but let's just call it the, if this picture wins, I'm never watching the Oscars again. So, in the category of, God, I hope it doesn't win, is Roma.
It's Roma.
Because Roma is the ultimate, like, snobby arts movie.
Okay.
Now, you could say the same thing about The Favorite. So I guess I'm going to have to go and put two in my category of what I think will win is either Favorite or Roma. I will say Green Book, I think, is a good pick for this category. I think you picked a good one there.
But it's not artsy enough.
I don't know.
Well, they sometimes go like with these weird feel-good movies. Like, what was it, Shawshank and... I forget, something else was up, and it was like they went with this like feel-good movie that didn't quite fit that year.
So yeah, those are my picks. I think Green Book is a really good pick for this one. So I don't have any problem with that pick.
We're not gonna fight,
right? But I think you know, the one that I'm really cheering for is Black Panther.
I would love to see Black Panther win. It already won the SAG Awards, so I think that's good.
So here's what we called the category. The first category is what we think will win. Mm-hmm. Second category is what we want to win. Mm-hmm. And third category is just called no.
No.
Please, or no, we're going to call it please no.
Please no. I don't know if I have a please no. Because of the movies I saw, I didn't hate any of them.
So. Right. And I'm sorry, just in case I wasn't clear earlier, I didn't hate Roma. I'm not trying to bash it. I'm not trying to like, but I'm just saying it. If it can't keep my attention, then it can't be that good of a movie that it should be Best Picture of the year.
Right. I agree with what you're saying there.
Okay.
Well, we have a couple more categories let's cover here. I think we'll probably move a little bit quicker on these. Lead actor, we got Christian Bale for Vice, Bradley Cooper for A Star Is Born, William Dafoe for At Eternity's Gate, Rami Malek for Bohemian Rhapsody, and Viggo Mortensen for Green Book. What are you going to throw in on this one?
I have the will win is the same as the guy I want to win, which is Rami Malek for Bohemian Rhapsody. I think he wins. His performance is what made that movie so incredible.
I'm going to go with that too, And even though I've stated I haven't seen Bohemian Rhapsody, I've seen so much, like, behind the scenes and comparative footage. Because I was getting really hyped for this movie before it came out, like I said. There are points where you're almost like, I can't even really tell that he's not,
right.
not him.
Right.
At certain ages. So
what's your please no vote?
My please no vote for this one's probably Christian Bale.
That's what I wrote down too, but I would also pick Defoe. He's risky of it's risky that they're going to give it to him just because he's an old Hollywood icon.
Yeah, I could see that. Crazy Eyes, Defoe.
I would love Viggo Mortensen to win. I thought he was great in Green Book, and I just love him. I mean, Eastern Promises, and some of his.
Hasn't he won before?
I don't know.
Was it a violent story or something? Didn't he win for that?
I don't know.
I can't remember. He's great.
Yeah.
He's fantastic.
He's great.
He's not in enough things. So we got lead actress. We got the girl from Roma, Yalitza Aparicio.
Yeah.
Okay. Glenn Close in The Wife. Olivia Colman for The Favorite. Lady Gaga, A Star is Born. And Melissa McCarthy, Can You Ever Forgive Me? Olivia Colman was the queen, right? And The Favorite?
I have to assume she was, since...
Yeah, if she wasn't the other two.
Right.
Who are you going to go for here?
I think, and I would like this, I would be okay with this, but I think the girl from Roma wins. Because I don't think they're going to give her Best Picture, and I think that her performance in this artsy movie... I think somebody from a little bit more of a quirky movie...
Yeah.
Is usually the type that sort of lands these things. So I would pick Yalitza to win Best Actress. I would want Melissa McCarthy. And
really?
I didn't see this movie, but I just love her so much.
Really?
I'm a big fan of hers. And the please no is, and I say this with all due respect, but Glenn Close. Like, come on.
Yeah. She's
enough.
Already won.
Enough.
Yeah. I'm with you on the please no for Glenn Close, although I don't really like Melissa McCarthy.
Huh.
Yeah, she's not a draw for me.
Bridesmaids?
I like Bridesmaids, and that was like the last time I liked her.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know, she just feels played out. But anyway, I think that you're right. I think Roma, Yalitza will probably win, probably deserves to win. Honestly, I feel like they'll probably give it to Glenn Close just because why break what works? Is
yeah.
What, you know?
Okay.
But
Glenn Close has the same risk as Willem Dafoe.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see that. Okay, supporting actor. I'm going to butcher this, but Mahershala Ali for Green Book. Adam Driver for BlacKkKlansman. Sam Elliott for A Star is Born. Richard E. Grant for Can You Ever Forgive Me? And Sam Rockwell for Vice.
It has to be Ali.
Yeah.
I mean, there's something wrong with this if he's not automatic.
But who's your no?
My please no?
Yeah.
I don't really have one here, except I'm half tempted.
For Driver?
For Driver. Although it would be great if the next Star Wars came out with Adam Driver, Oscar winner,
yeah.
Although Star Wars, one of the things I love about them is that you never see the cast, like, at the beginning of the movie. Like, it's not a big part of, other movies start out and they say, Tom Cruise, whatever. And Star Wars just gets right into the movie.
Yeah. I hear you there. For me on this one, I only really know Sam Elliott and Sam Rockwell for their performances, and I don't feel like either of them were in the movie enough to make this impression for me.
Okay.
I don't think they deserve it.
So you going Ali?
Yeah, I'll probably go Ali, just from what I've seen, promotional materials. Yeah, that's probably it. If I had to say no, I would really say no to Sam Rockwell. I just don't feel like he did anything special. It was almost like he looked like him more than anything else.
Right, right.
And that's it. Supporting actress, we've got Amy Adams in Vice, Marina de Tarriva in Roma. Okay, Regina King, if Bale Street Could Talk, Emma Stone in The Favorite, and Rachel Weisz in The Favorite. This is tough for me.
Why?
I felt that Amy Adams did an amazing job in Vice. She was the best thing about Vice. She convinced me that she wasn't Amy Adams. That's not hard to do. Or that's not easy to do.
Yeah.
So I really like what she did, but I can't go against Emma Stone. I think Emma Stone's performance is superb.
Regina King was amazing in If Beale Street Could Talk. Mm-hmm. And Rachel Weisz, we already covered. She was amazing in The Favorite. Mm-hmm. Amy Adams is amazing in everything she's ever been in. Marina de Tavira was amazing in Roma. And she, I think, she is the likely candidate for probably will get it, for the same reason that I picked her or her colleague there for lead actress. But in my opinion, the one who, to me, like you said, this is a hard category. To me, this is easy. Emma Stone was the best supporting actress, like, by a country mile.
Yeah.
I thought she was amazing in The Favorite. And, yeah.
Here's my question. How is she not lead actress in that movie?
I don't know.
Like, it's about her.
Right. And she's in every scene, or maybe like, there's...
Pretty much.
Other than when the camera's, like, zooming in on a new setting to tell you that they're in a different building or something?
I guess really the only other character that she competes again with for screen time for is the Queen.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that she should win. I think... I feel that Regina King's probably going to win. For the same reason that you think the girl from Roma will win... I think that
I agree. I agree.
Could talk, yeah.
Yeah.
Animated feature film. And this is the last one we'll cover. Here is Incredibles 2, Isle of Dogs. How do you say Mariah? Mirai. I don't know how to. Mirai. Ralph Breaks the Internet and Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. I mean. I might have opinions.
Wait, let me guess. Let me go out on a limb. It's not Incredibles.
The one I can't pronounce.
Right.
I'm going to go with Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. You're shocked.
I am shocked.
You don't know how to handle it.
I can't. I'm speechless here.
I think that Ralph Breaks the Internet wins, though.
Really?
Yeah.
No way.
You don't think?
No way.
No?
Okay, first of all, the one that I think was the best picture was Isle of Dogs.
Well, yeah, we went on about this before. You really enjoyed the movie.
I did.
Yeah.
I think Isle of Dogs is the best. I will say that I don't really disagree with you that Spider-Man was the best. Like, Spider-Man to me was right there.
Mm-hmm.
I think Isle of Dogs should win, and I think it will win.
Okay.
And I think that Spider-Man, you could also easily make the case it should win and it will win. There's no possible way Ralph Breaks the Internet
you don't think
beats out like, those two.
I felt like it's just like the safe bet.
It's a sequel.
Okay, yeah.
You know how much the Academy hates sequels?
I guess that's true. But even with animated films?
Yeah. Incredibles 2 is up there, and I would say the same thing about Incredibles 2. I don't know. Somebody prove me wrong. Somebody send us an email telling me all the sequels that have gathered up all these Oscars.
Yeah, podcast at pensima.com.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think Isle of Dogs is the winner. And if it's not Isle of Dogs, it's going to be Spider-Man. And I will say the same thing I said 15 minutes ago. If it's not one of those two, then...
I'll never watch that.
I'll never watch it. Until next year.
Until next year. I'm going to go a whole year.
Right, right.
Without...
One that, you know, while we're talking about Isle of Dogs, I just love, and I know we're going to talk in a minute about what else, sort of other things we're watching and reading, but I just love a good soundtrack or score, you know, or whatever. And I've always said, you know, one of my favorite parts of Star Wars is John Williams, which I didn't realize until I was older, you know, because I didn't really put two and two together, but... The theme music to Star Wars, the theme music to Indiana Jones, you know, of course, Rocky, you know, all those sort of movies when we were coming up. But so I will just say that the score to me for Isle of Dogs was one of the best, you know, that I in recent memory. And that's probably why I feel so strongly about it being, you know, such a great
You think it'll win that
great
category?
Film. I do.
It's up against Black Panther.
I know.
I feel like if it was popular vote, for Black Panther would win.
Absolutely, if it was popular vote, yeah. Black Panther would win. But we're talking about the Academy.
Yeah. No, you're probably right. I could see Isle of Dogs winning. I don't think Mary Poppins will... Poppins Returns will win. And I'm not familiar with Black Klansman or if Beale Street Could Talk's soundtrack at all. I haven't heard any buzz about them. So I would... Yeah, I think you're probably right. Isle of Dogs probably bring that. Yeah. Black Panther will probably get original song, though. All right, before we move on to our what we've been reading and what we're watching on our own, I got a little quiz for you, Pat.
Oh, I can't wait.
Okay. Best picture movies. How much do you know these movies? I'm going to give you two numbers.
Okay.
Right? And I want you to match them with... You got to match it with the movie and then tell me what you think is is the Rotten Tomato meter.
Okay.
And which is the critic... the audience score.
Okay.
Okay. And I'll give you the numbers, but of course it'll be
right.
Process of elimination here.
And are you going to give me the name of the movie?
No.
Oh.
You got to figure out which movie it goes to.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
We got an 80.
Uh huh.
And a 95.
Okay. So I'm going to guess that's Black Panther with the audience at 95 and the Rotten Tomato at 80.
No. It's the Green Book.
Shut up.
The Green Book has critics at 80.
Wow.
And the audience at 95.
Ooh, that's a shocker.
Right? Right? Okay. 90 and 80. Actually, I think it's a little too much to pick what goes to which. Rotten Tomato 90. People say 80. I think that might be a little bit easier to match stuff.
Oh, I mean, is that the favorite?
It is not.
Black Panther.
It's A Star Is Born.
Wow.
Critics loved it, and people love it, too.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's not a huge... I mean, 80 is still pretty good.
Yeah. This one makes me wonder... well, okay. 66.
Okay.
And 56.
Which one's which?
66 is the tomato meter.
Okay, and 56 is the audience.
Is the audience.
And this is a Best Picture nominee.
It's a Best Picture nominee.
Oh. I got this one. This is either Klansman or Vice.
It's Vice. Which makes you wonder how it got on.
That's what I'm saying. The studio did a great job of doing what they do to get their picture nominated.
Right. Exactly. Okay, 97.
Wow. Okay.
And 79.
Whoa. That's got to be... Wait. 97 is the Rotten Tomato?
Mm-hmm.
So that's got to be favorite. No, wait. Roma.
We're going to take a quick second, and I'm going to double-check it. I didn't put something wrong. I did not.
So Rotten Tomatoes at 97.
Audience review at 79.
That's stunning.
Black Panther. That's crazy. Black Panther.
I would have thought Black Panther would have had a higher audience rating.
I know. That's... I don't get it. I'm shocked at that one.
That is stunning.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
95 and 82.
That's not that huge of a differential, but I'm going to have to say, would that be Bohemian Rhapsody?
It's not. That is Black Klansman.
Huh.
People love the movie, apparently.
Yeah.
So there's not very many left. 62.
Okay.
And 88.
So in other words, the critics didn't like it, and the audience loved it. I mean, that's got to be Bohemian Rhapsody.
Exactly. And that's right there is threw me off. Critics were hating on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm surprised by that.
Well, I guess they didn't like his performance or something?
That doesn't bode well for my pick for Best Actor.
94 Rotten Tomato.
Okay.
62 audience.
Please, please tell me that's Roma.
It's the favorite. Audiences hate this movie.
I have to say, I have the opposite effect with this movie than I usually do. Usually I walk out of a movie And I'm like, I loved it. And then I'm like the old guys at the end of the Muppet Show. Because I'm like, ah, I loved it. It was the best. It was really great. It was good. It was all right. I mean, it was pretty good. It wasn't bad. I mean, I've seen better. It wasn't the best. It was okay. Actually, yeah. It kind of sucked. No, it was terrible. It was the worst movie I ever saw. That's usually how, like, because I tend to be like an easy critic. Mm-hmm. I'm easily amused. I always enjoy being at a movie theater and seeing a movie. And, you know, so I'm usually in a good mood when I come out of a movie. And then over time, I realize, oh, it was just another, you know.
Just another year.
Yeah. But with The Favorite, I'm kind of having the opposite experience. Like, I came out of it and Drew asked me, like, what'd you think? And I was like, I don't. No, I don't know what I thought. And then, but the more time goes by and the more I reflect on it, it was so unusual and gripping and well-made. And I just, it sort of sticks with you, you know, and you sort of can't stop thinking about it. And so I'm having the opposite experience where I came out and I probably would have given it like, you know, something similar to this, like a 62, 63. And the more I reflect on it, the more it sits with me. And like you and I said a few minutes ago, we both want to see it again. You know, it comes up. So maybe the critics are better at sort of seeing that at their first glance.
Which is surprising because I feel they're usually pretty jaded. But yeah, I agree. When I came out, I was like, what do you think? And I was like, check with me later. We've got one last one, and that's 96 and 75, and it's that's Roma.
Yeah.
So critics love it, audience. It's very similar to The Favorite, but...
I have a hard time picturing people who I hang out with.
Yeah.
Flipping through Netflix.
Do you hang out with people?
Not many, one or two.
One or two.
But I have a hard time picturing either one of them. Scrolling through Netflix, landing on this film because they heard about it and there's buzz and talking and watching it and sticking with it past, you know, 15 minutes.
Was this a Netflix-only release?
No, they did something called a four-wall, which is when they get a theatrical release so that it'll qualify for the Oscars. They played it in Los Angeles and Manhattan. Played it in three total theaters. They played it in one theater in L.A., two theaters in Midtown. And in order to get the theaters, they had to rent the theater. It's called a four-wall. So the studio rents the auditorium from the movie theater and sells tickets themselves.
Oh, wow.
And so you come in, and now, because they did that, this movie, which is a video-on-demand movie, qualifies for Oscars.
Wow. And I recall someone saying... If it was that type of movie, it didn't count as a real movie last week.
That would be appropriate. Yeah. Cue the tape and pull it up. That's how I feel. And now that I've seen it, I feel even more strongly. Like, well, and because that's the other thing. I mean, I don't want to get too back on my soapbox again, but I wonder if I had watched this movie on a big screen in a dark, quiet auditorium, if I would have appreciated it more. You know, would this be the kind of movie that needs to be seen in a movie theater as opposed to my bedroom, you know, and I probably was on my phone or, you know, sort of distracted and, you know. I just think that's partly exactly my point, you know, is that the movie, the audiences didn't like it. Maybe if they had been watching it in a movie theater, like one of his other movies, like, for example, Gravity, you know, and had a real theatrical experience, it would have resonated better with me. Maybe I would have seen what the point was.
And Gravity was the type of movie you had to see in the theater.
Loved Gravity.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there you have it. That's our Oscar talk for 2019. Oscars. February 24th, right?
Something like that.
Yeah. So tune in. Let us know what you think would win the Oscars, podcast at PennCinema.com. Or hit us up on some of the social medias. So moving on here, before we close out, let's talk about what have you been, taking in? We talk about a lot of these mainstream things, but in your personal life, what are you reading? What are you watching?
Well, the one that I'm most excited about is Mrs. Maisel.
Okay.
Which is...
Amazon, right?
Prime. Yeah. And I guess that is Amazon. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not really It's funny because we were just talking a few minutes ago about Isle of Dogs and the importance of soundtrack and score and stuff like that. The soundtrack to Mrs. Maisel is perfection. I mean, it's fun. It reminds me a little bit of like the Ocean's movies, uh-huh. where there's like that sort of fun, upbeat, you know, jazz sort of. So yeah, I'm all about Mrs. Maisel.
Okay.
Have you watched it? You're into it?
No. But I've been seeing the ads and it's like,
oh, so good.
Of stuff. Any other, you've been reading anything? Any other shows?
Yeah, I mean, of course, Schitt's Creek, but that's a little bit old news. Yeah. I think people have been watching that for a while. And the other one that I think is worth commenting on, because is it retro or old school or lame or boring or whatever? But I've been into Saturday Night Live.
Oh, yeah?
I've
current Saturday Night
Live. Yeah, I've been staying up and watching it.
Okay.
And I think their commentary is pretty cutting edge. You know, I think they... And everybody says, oh, they're liberal or they're political or whatever, but they make fun of everybody. You know what I mean? You know, I mean, they cut Hillary down pretty hard, and they, you know, obviously they're going to town on Trump. But I think that they are pretty hilarious, you know, and I don't seem to connect with the music groups. I haven't really enjoyed any of the musical guests, but I think that's just because I'm old. And the Weekend Update is, I think, you know, Michael Che is hilarious, you know. So I mean, it's kind of weird to say that with all the world that we live in with Netflix and Prime and streaming and, you know, so many, there's like too many shows almost.
Yeah.
The old school Saturday Night Live, NBC TV, just like it was in 1970s,
wow.
You know.
I haven't been watching it recently, but I've been, I catch the clips like on YouTube,
yeah.
like the next day or whatever.
Yeah.
That's some pretty quality stuff up there.
That's
yeah.
just as good,
yeah.
you know.
Well, we can say it is. So for me, this week I am finishing up the book The Enemy by Lee Child.
Oh.
It's a Jack Reacher book.
Oh.
I just thought I'd try them.
Yeah.
I am totally hooked on these books. I mean, they're all kind of semi-similar. They're enough, like, spy mystery and technical jargon to, like, really keep me involved.
Yeah.
He's just suave enough that, like... you want to be him,
yeah.
You know what I mean, without being too crazy.
Right.
I really like these Jack Reacher books. So I think this is book 5-ish.
The Enemy by Lee Child.
Yeah, The
okay.
Enemy.
Yeah.
And this one's actually a prequel, so you if you're interested, you could read this one before the other ones, and you'd be fine. New season of Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. I'm on episode 2 of the last like 6 episodes.
Yeah. Love it.
I'm really sad that that's going away, but I'm glad it's ending on a high note.
Did I see an ad that The Big Bang Theory is on its way out?
Yeah. I think it's ending, I think this is the last
10
season.
More seasons, or I mean, you said 10 more episodes?
Yeah, something like that.
I love that they did the Young Sheldon.
You like Young Sheldon?
I'm not saying I like it.
You love that they did it.
I love that they did it. I think it's a great idea.
I like the idea of this thing. I don't like the practice. I don't really know much about it. I've never watched
yeah.
it. But the other thing is I started rewatching Star Trek Discovery.
Mm.
Season 2 is out, and I don't want to pay for CBS All Access, so I'll just rewatch the first one.
And then when they bring out season 3, you'll watch season 2.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's
exactly.
cool. That works.
So what are you guys reading, watching, and looking forward to coming out? Please email us at podcast@penncinema.com, as well as next week, I believe, we're going to be reviewing Lego Movie 2.
I believe so.
The sequel, second part?
The second part. Lego Movie 2, the second part.
The second part. So let us know what you're going to think about this movie. What are you looking forward to in it? Or if you saw it before, over the weekend, let us know what you thought.
And the week after that,
mm-hmm.
we're going to be talking about Alita, Battle Angel / Avatar 2.
That's exciting. That's exciting.
I'm actually really excited to see this movie. Like, I'm not saying it's going to be great. I'm not saying you should go watch it. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, like, this movie has me so perplexed. I'm dying to see it.
I am right there with you. Like, I'm actually pretty pumped to see this movie just because I don't understand.
Right.
Like, it's one of those movies I think I'm going to exit the theater and be like, how did they make this movie? It's got to cost so much money.
Right.
Like, didn't they know what they were? Yeah. Anyway, we'll get into it when we get into it. So for now, I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
And this has been the Penn Cinema Podcast.
Party on.
Thanks for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.